problem.
Yeah. So, welcome. First of all, I would like to thank the organizer for giving me the opportunity to present that work I did together with my supervisor, Reinhard Werner. Our group recently moved from Braunschweig to Hannover, so that's our new logo. And I would like to talk a little bit about Cyrilson's problem and how that problem might be, it can be formulated in a bit more mathematical way or and fit maybe in a more suitable way for in a way more similar to that audience. So what's the kind of problem we're interested in? And the situation is just that we have two observers and they come in quantum state, and they share a quantum state, and they want to perform independent measurements on that state. Okay, and what they get out of that is correlations. Sure. So the question is, how do we model that situation mathematically? Well, the usual model you always do is, you say both Alice and Bob have some Hilbert space, and the measurements are represented by positive operators on the tensor product space. So your state is a positive functional on that. A tensor product on the bounded operators on the tensor Hilbert space tensor product. Your observables are positive operators, and for each, so I always label the measurement device and A or alpha measurement labels the outcome here in that talk. So, and of course, because of laws of probability theory, we want that for each measurement device, so for each measurement device, the outcomes should sum up to the identity. Okay. Well, and the same for Bob. Well, and you get the probability distribution you get out just by applying the state onto the tensor product of these operators. This tensor product is here, of course, taken with respect to the Hilbert space tensor product of these two Hilbert spaces. So, okay, that's all familiar. So, but you can also model that question or that situation in a different way. You can say, well, I take just one Hilbert space for both systems, and what we really want that Alice and Bob do their measurements independently so they don't disturb each other. So this no disturbance is modeled in quantum mechanics by saying, well, the all operators of Alice commute with all operators of Bob. And again, positive operators, this is normalization condition, and well, you get the probability distribution out just by applying the state again. Okay, and the obvious question now is, are the two models the same? Do they give rise to the same set of probability distributions? That question was first asked by Cyrilson and later also by Navasquez, Pironio, and Asin. So do the two approaches produce the same kind of correlations? Well, Cyrilson also posted that question on our list of quantum information problems back in Braunschweig. So that's the old address, and it's problem 33 on that list. So, but this list will be transferred to Hannover. So just at the moment, you can still reach us here, but maybe in a later time you should look in Hannover. Okay. So a partial answer to this, and also given that note, is of course, if the Hilbert spaces are of finite dimensions, then the two approaches are the same. You just get that because all finite dimensional von Neumann algebras are type 1 von Neumann algebras. Okay. So that's the question. How can we get some hand on that? Well, first of all, I would like to define in a better way what we are talking about. A finite set quantum mechanical correlation functions is just a correlation function which I can model, well, with some operators having these properties I introduced and a state. And Well, this AI just labels the set of outcomes of the measurement I, and BJ just labels the set of outcomes of the measurement device J. And well, you can clearly see that's the probability distribution you get out, and that what I call a finite set quantum mechanical correlation function. Finite sets because the number of measurement devices as well as the number of outcomes of each of measurement device is supposed to be finite. Okay, so next I would like to next I would like to define a property which becomes important during that talk. So of course now we are just here we see well these are all correlation functions being of commutant operator form, so of just of this product form. And now I would like to say okay, what I mean with these with a quantum mechanical correlation function being approximately finite dimensional. These are the interesting ones actually. We will see. So this is a finite set quantum mechanical correlation function is said to be approximately finite dimensional if there exists for every epsilon a finite dimensional Hilbert space and two sets of commuting operators summing up to identity for every fixed measurement device, such that well I can approximate this correlation functions as good as I want for all ij alpha and beta. Okay. And now, with that two definitions, we can already state our theorem. That is that those correlation functions, which can be represented using operators of tensor product forms, are exactly those which are approximately finite dimensional. Okay? So these two. Given such a correlation, finite set quantum mechanical correlation functions, these two notions are, statements are equivalent. That I can either represent it using a state on the bounded operators of a Hilbert space tensor product using operators of tensor product form, or I can approximate them using finite dimensional systems. Okay. First of all, it's interesting from a physical point of view because, well, in physics you would maybe want you can approximate all quantum your correlation function using finite dimensional systems. Because, well, that makes things easier and it's somehow physical, I would say. Because we usually deal with finite dimensional systems, so they should have some sense, I would say. Okay. How do you prove that? That's basically very simple. You just have to, so that's not very deep mathematics, I would say. You just have to introduce the right notions and that basically everything comes out. Starting from the set of positive operators, you just take the linear span of this positive operator and define an element T positive if it can be written as a positive linear combination. So this is some ordered unit vector space or a function space, and well, you might think that this is also an operator system because it's a set of positive operators, subset of a C-star algebra, and it contains the identity because the elements sum up to the identity. But actually, you don't have specified the matrix order of that set. You're just looking at the set itself. If you would define the matrix order, that would fix the operator system. That would make it unique in some sense. So you just do that for Alice and Bob, and then you consider the Hilbert, the algebraic tensor product of that one. This algebraic tensor product also already includes a very nice condition, I would like to say. In quantum information theory, you are talking about the non-signaling condition. I mean, it's just meaning that if you have one element of, if you sum over the outcomes of one measurement on Alice's side and tensor it with some element of Bob, you just get that out. And that means non-signaling, meaning that you cannot transfer information to Alice and Bob arbitrarily fast in some sense. So that's the physical meaning of that. So this just by considering that tensor product, you already have included that physical condition. Of course, this tensor product is not an ordered unit vector space because you have not defined what positivity means in that. And that's exactly the point. So by choosing two definitions of positivity in that tensor product, you exactly get the two interesting cases. Okay, so the minimal tensor norm we define, or the P minimal, P for positive, is just the soup over all maps of tensor product, mapping this tensor product of measurement spaces into the bounded operators on the Hilbert space tensor product. Okay, so it's positive. We are considering positive map, not completely positive map, because we're not really interested in the unique structure of the outcome. We're just interested in, well, are there some, is there a tensor product representation, not is it unique. The same maximal tensor norm. Okay, it's just like the supremum over all maps into B of H, positive and unital, of course, with commuting ranges. So the ray is a range. We demand that the range of TA commutes with the range of TB. Okay. So clearly these two tensor norms catch up on the interesting cases. So the first one, okay, is the case of tensor products. The second one is the case of commuting of observables. So the question, what I mean with an element of that Pman or Pmax is defined to be positive if it's mapped always to a positive operator with respect to these two sets of maps. Okay. So both, just by this, by considering these two tensor norms, these tensor norms both make tensor MB into an ordered unit vector space or a function space, but they may be very different. Of course, you have that the Pmax tensor product is contained in the Pman, and conversely for duals. So the question now, are the two approaches equivalent? So do they produce the same set of correlation? It's just like, okay, are the two tensor products the same for all finite dimensional measurement spaces? So that's the question. And because if they are, well, then these do from a commuting representation, you always get a tensor product representation. So that's the question, and unfortunately, I'm not able to answer that. But I can just say, well, that one is equivalent to being to the question whether all correlation functions are finitely approximable. That's just the short lemma you want to prove. Either these the following are equivalent, the two tensor products agree, or given such a state on the maximal tensor product, you can approximate it in that way using maps into finite dimensional Hilbert space into the bounded operators on a finite dimensional Hilbert space, and of course the state suitable for that. The proof of that is quite simple. Well, of course, if you are starting with something of tensor product form, you can just take finite dimensional projectors, and because they are tensor product form, this holds. Well, we just have that, okay, if the result of Cyrilson just said that if MA is a subspace of a finite dimensional von Neumann algebra or finite dimensional C-star algebra, then this holds, actually. Okay, that basically comes out because all finite dimensional von Neumann algebra are type 1 von Neumann algebras, and for that, tensor product structure and commutativity is the same. And so we know that, given we can approximate it, we can say, well, let's, we have some two of these maps mapping into the algebra of bounded operators in the finite dimensional Hilbert space, which really is a finite dimensional von Neumann algebra. We have that, and we get that. So that's the proof of the lemma, and therefore of the theorem. So it's quite easy, but it's just like, okay, in some or maybe different characterization of the problem. So you can ask the question, which observable algebras give rise to finitely approximable correlation functions? Okay, so first of all, okay, the nuclear C-star algebras, but that's not very deep, because the nuclear C-star algebras, the max and the min tensor norm on a C-star algebra already agree, so the question is equivalent there. Or hyperfinite von Neumann algebras, well, they're really quite on a separate Hilbert space, of course, they're really correlated with nuclear C-star algebras, so that's not really a surprise. But from the point of view of physics, that might be already enough, maybe, because in algebraic, if you have some algebraic quantum field theory and you impose some physical conditions, already what you get out is that all local algebras are hyperfinite type 3-1 von Neumann algebras, so they are hyperfinite. Just for those of you who don't know, just the definitions again. So that one we already saw this morning, and just a von Neumann algebra is called hyperfinite if there exists an increasing net of finite dimensional subalgebras which is weak star dense in NM. Okay, just. So Cyrilson actually asked whether this question of these two approaches being equivalent has something to do with von Neumann types occurring in physics. Well, and using that interpretation, you can see, well, not quite, because, well, actually, there exist hyperfinite von Neumann algebras of any type. And what is really crucial is the hyperfinite-ness and not the type of the von Neumann algebra. Why may you think of that the type is important? Because if you have a von Neumann algebra being of type bigger, equal or bigger than 2, then there exists no decomposition of H into the tensor product form, such that M is X on B of HM, and the commutant X on the HC. Okay, so that's basic fact, and so you might think that this problem is related to the types of von Neumann algebra, but well, okay, you see, it's really related to the hyperfinite-ness. So the basic mathematical question is, which remains, is: are there non-nuclear finite-dimensional operator systems? I'm a little bit cheating here, because we are not really dealing with operator systems because we haven't defined the whole order of that. But okay, there's still a relation, I would say. So if someone has some insight in that question, sure, maybe we can use it for that question also. And the physical questions you have is, okay, does there exist a quantum system such as the correlation functions cannot be approximated by correlation functions coming from finite dimensional systems? That is, I would say, a quite deep physical question, or not that deep, I'm not sure, but at least it is interesting from my point of view. Okay, and with that, I would like to thank you for your attention.